I'm Patty Munson. This is an interview with Nora Jean Housley for the Arkansas Extension Homemakers Council Oral History Program. This is being done December 8th, 2011 at the Old Chimes Schoolhouse, which is now the Chimes Community Center in Van Buren County. The audio recordings and transcript of this interview will be donated to the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History at the University of Arkansas. The recording, transcript, and any other related materials will be deposited and preserved forever in the Special Collections Department, University of Arkansas Libraries, Fayetteville, and the copyright will belong solely to the University of Arkansas. Nora Jean, are you willing to give the Pryor Center permission to make the audio file and transcript available to others?
Yes, I am.
First, I'd like you to give your complete legal name and spell it for me, and then tell me the city and county in which you presently reside.
Nora Jean Housley, N-O-R-A, capital J-E-A-N, H-O-U-S-L-E-Y, and I live at 1165 Housley Loop, Leslie, Arkansas, 72645.
This is going to be an informal interview. I want you to share your memories of your involvement with the Extension Homemakers Program and the good times and challenges. And the first question they asked me to ask is, how did you learn about the Extension Homemakers Program?
Well, my mother belonged to a EH Home Demonstration Club in Oklahoma before we moved to Arkansas. And in 1952, several of the ladies in the community got to discussing about the Home Demonstration Club. So the extension officer was Emma Myers at Clinton in Van Buren County. And so she came out and met with several of the ladies in the community. So the club was organized with 10 members that day that she came out. So I am a charter member of the Chimes EH Club. There's only three living. One of them lives in Texas with her son. The other one she's in a nursing home in Russellville, Arkansas. So I'm the only one that lives in the Chimes community that is a charter member of the Chimes EH Club.
Could you tell me what the names of the other two members were?
Her name at that time was Pauline Williams. She married again, but I do not know her last name. And then Emma Miller. So that's the three that are left that was charter members of the Chimes EH Club. Of course, the Chimes EH Club now was the Chimes Home Demonstration Club at that time. Uh-huh. And then later years, it went to the Chimes Extension Club. And then later, it went to the Family Community Education Club. Uh-huh. And then back to the EH Extension Clubs.
Yeah. What were some of the early projects that you did in the club?
Well, the first project that we had, as I stated, my mother, her name was Eula Mathis, that had belonged to a club in Oklahoma. And then the first project that was mentioned after we started our club was mentioned by my mother-in-law, Della Housley. And there was no building at the Liberty Cemetery. So she mentioned trying to get a building at the Liberty Cemetery for the purpose of decorations and funerals, because there was just nowhere. When the weather was bad, for funerals in the community. And so we undertook trying to get a building. So that was started. She passed away in 1953. She didn't get to see the building completed, but at her funeral, which was graveside, there was some building material on the grounds at the cemetery. So she knew that it was in the making. And the building actually didn't start until 1954. because most of the men were farmers and just didn't have the time to get it started. But it did actually start in 1954.
Well, that's a big project, so you had to raise quite a bit of money. What ways did you raise the money for that project?
Well, we had pie suppers. We had sock suppers. The club member, the club ladies, piece quilts and quilted those quilts, and then we sold tickets. And then they would be given away at some of our gatherings, which the pie suppers and whatever we were having. And then we also quilted for other people in the community or wherever anyone lived and wanted quilts quilted. And that was some of the ways. We also had plays and talent shows, whatever we could think of, you know. And I remember two of the plays was, one of them was the mock wedding, and then one of them was a womanless wedding, and then Family Feuding, I believe, was the name of one of the plays. And outside of that, I can't remember the other plays. But we just had, we had to think of a lot of things in order to get money for the cemetery building. But then a lot of people just gave their money. They donated their money to the building fund.
I was wondering how much you charged back then to quilt a quilt for somebody.
I think we started out at $3.
Wow.
And then we raised it to $5 and on up to $7. And then from that it went on up, I think, to about $15, something like that.
Now,
we quilted lots of quilts.
Yeah, so you got the building built.
The building was finished in 1958. So that was 4 years that we were in the building and building the cemetery building.
Did it have electric and indoor plumbing at that time?
No, it didn't. We had to, well, we didn't have electricity in it till later years. And we had a funeral one day and it was raining and dark. The preacher couldn't hardly even see how to read the scripture. Mm-hmm. So the club got together and we decided we needed electricity. So that's how we come about getting electricity.
Then did the club pay the electric bill each month?
Yes.
Also?
Yes.
So you had ongoing projects to make money?
We had to have the money coming in for that, but we never missed a payment. The people were really good to come in and help with all these projects, you know. That one especially.
The other thing I haven't asked is who actually did the work. I guess you did say that it was the farmers in the community.
The men in the community volunteered all their work. We were at no expense for anything, any labor or anything like that.
Then did the cemetery building and the cemetery itself remain a project through the years?
The cemetery, yes. The cemetery was a standing project all those years, and the building, it went along with it, keeping up the inside and everything. But for a while there was not much expense there because it was all new. And so the cemetery was a standing project until later years, and then they decided to the community got together and voted to have a perpetual fund for it. So we dropped the cemetery as a project. But that came in later years. There's other things that happened before that. Our next project, big project, was to restore this Chimes schoolhouse, which it was built in 1935. And it was, I think I told someone it was not a WPA project, but it was. I found out from my husband that it was a project of the WPA. And a man by the name of Cecil Jones was a contractor. So he was the one that saw that the building was built. And So anyway, it was a big project. When the building was built, they put plaster all on the inside of the rock walls. And through the years after, I think the school, of course, Shimes had their school here, grades 1 through 8, until 1954, I believe I'm right on that. And then they consolidated with Leslie School. So there was a number of years there that nothing was in the building. So it really did deteriorate. The plaster began to come off the walls, and the, of course, it was heated by wood when we went to school. And we were trying to have elections in it, and it was so cold and bad and everything that we decided that it needed to be restored and something needed to be done. So the first thing that had to be done was get new stovepipes, and we started tearing down all the plaster off the walls, which was a lot of hard work. Window panes had been broken out, and the screens on the windows had been torn off. The doors were in real bad shape, so we really had a lot going on. And so we decided to do all that and got the plaster off the walls and painted the walls. And then we went for the new windows and the window panes that had to be put in and the screens. And then that's when we had problems. It's sad to say, but a lot of times when some people see things going good, they don't like that, and they begin to tear things up. So we came home from prayer meeting one night at church, and the men had built scaffolds to fix the windows and everything. The scaffolds were torn down, and then the next thing, the window lights were being broke, the screens were being torn off. The well had been blown up where the water was furnished for the school. And we tried to keep on keeping on, but finally we decided we couldn't. So we had to give that project up. It broke our hearts, but we had to give that project up. So that kind of ended the project here. But during that time, we still had our pie suppers and our quilting and our plays and whatever to raise funds, you know.
Then it was eventually fixed up, the schoolhouse, though.
Yes,
to completion.
It was, but it wasn't the club.
Wasn't the club?
No.
It was the greater community?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you presently a club member? And if so, please give the name of the club.
No, I am not.
Okay. These are the questions that I need to ask
right.
for them. Do you have any special remembrances of your first club meeting?
Well, no, not really. I was put in as president. I didn't know anything about it. I was really new. I didn't know, but with the help of Miss Myers, she was really, really good. We all love Miss Myers. Mm-hmm. And she helped us a lot with our club. But we just worked at it, and eventually at one time in the scrapbook that my mother kept, I noticed through the first 12 years, we had as many as 50 members. Here and there, you know. Some of them married, left, and that sort of thing. But we did it. One time, there was 50 members that had belonged to the Chimes EH Club in that 12 years. We had lots of fun. We'd go to, each one's home at a club meeting each month, and maybe they would like for us to do something for them that morning, and then we'd have our club meeting in the afternoon. Or maybe we would meet for an all-day thing just for quilting. So we had a lot of fun along with our hard work.
What kind of things would you do for the individuals that you were the hostess?
Well, most of the time it was piecing quilts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the mainest thing that we did. Mm-hmm. And also, in 1965, I noticed from the scrapbook, if it had not been for the scrapbook that my mother kept, I would be lost in the dates and things. But in 1965, we put a new, just a woven wire fence around the cemetery. And of course, it doesn't take fences long to go to getting bad and all that. So in 1977, we got to talking about putting a chain link fence around the cemetery. And of course, that was going to take quite a bit of money too. And we started on that. But we got a lot of donations. People mailed in. My mother was a correspondent for the Chimes community for years. And through that, she would report, you know, what we were doing and get people's attention to what. And a lot of people had an interest in the Liberty Cemetery at that time. And they would send in donations. So we got lots of donations for that fence, the chain link fence. And that really did help us. And that was in 1977. As I mentioned a while ago, the club started out as Home Demonstration Club. Then it went to Extension Homemakers Home Demonstration Club. I'm sorry, it was the Chimes Home Demonstration Club. And then it went to the Extension Homemakers Club. And then it went to the Family Community Education Club. It just stayed that for a few years. I never did really like that name. Somewhere or other, it just didn't fit. But anyway, it went to FCE. That's the way we would do it. And then it went back to the Extension Homemakers Club.
Uh-huh. And your mother's name, who was so active in the EHC, what was her name?
Eula Mathis. She was also a charter member and was a member until she went into the nursing home and was there for. After she left the Chimes community to live with my sister, she would come back to my house every month that was possible for her to go to a club meeting with me. And so after she went to the nursing home, of course, she wasn't able to come then. But mm-hmm. her heart was always with the club.
Yeah.
She did lots of work for the club.
So you continued your membership for over 50 years.
53 years.
Uh-huh. What was the reason that you would continue your membership? What did EHC mean to you?
Well, I think the EHC clubs, I think they helped our community. I think they, I know probably if it had not been for the EHC club, I don't know if we would have had a building at the cemetery and a lot of other things. We even bought markers from Kaufman Funeral Home for the unknown graves, the grave that didn't have markers. And a lot of them we found out who they were and some we didn't. But we bought markers for that. And then we made Valentines for the residents in the nursing home. Margaret Hackman was a big hand in that and kept that going. But we would go down there sometime around Valentine's Day and we would take refreshments and go down and give out our Valentines that we had made, and then we would do some singing and just have a little program for the residents in the nursing home. So I feel like that the EH Club has helped me in lots of ways, helped our community in lots of ways. And I have nothing against the EH clubs.
You have mentioned you were the first president of this John T. H. Club.
Yes, I was.
And what other positions did you carry, you know, through the years? As were you, like, in the county, were you part of that, or the
state?
No,
I never was an officer in the county.
But in this club?
But I've been, I guess, everything in the Chimes Club. The president, the secretary, treasurer, and just about everything. We just, sometimes we didn't have many members, and we just kind of back and forth, you know. But, I was the first president. Like I say, I didn't know much about it. But we just all kind of learned together, you know, what it was all about.
Have you ever attended the state council meetings?
No, I haven't. I don't think I ever have.
What would have been your favorite event?
Pardon?
Your favorite event through the years, or what activity that you like to do?
Well, I enjoy it all. I enjoyed getting together with the ladies quilting. We just spend all day quilting and having fun and visiting, and it was all clean fun. We've been real fortunate in that, having real nice ladies in our club. No one ever, you know, really caused any problems or anything. But I couldn't tell you my, you know, I just enjoyed it all. I look forward for the fourth Wednesday in each month. I just look forward to it.
Now, I looked through the scrapbook and saw some of the things that you did way back when. And one of the things that I was really interested in was the sunshine bags, where you would...
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I
tell
have
me
that
more about that.
I know, but I forgot it. Oh, yeah, we got a lot of thrill out of that. We would keep... sunshine bags for the ones that had to go to the hospital, or if they were real sick at home and couldn't get out and attend things, you know. But they weren't supposed to open but one gift a day. When we delivered the sunshine bags, that was just one gift a day that they would take out of that sunshine bag.
What kind of gifts?
Oh, I don't really know, Patty. It's just so many different things. Kleenex, things that they could use, you know, and maybe a new pair of socks or just whatever.
Comforting, you know, type things?
Right, yeah. And we usually always got thank you notes, and everybody enjoyed the sunshine bags.
And I also noticed that at least one year you didn't meet in July for the potato harvest. Did a lot of people around here grow potatoes that they harvested?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I hadn't noticed that.
Now, did they raise the potatoes for sale or for their own use?
Oh, usually? They raised potatoes for sale. They had big crops of potatoes. One year we planted 30 sacks, 100-pound sacks of potatoes. And a lot of the rest of them raised potatoes, and what didn't, they would hire out. You know, we would hire them to help us. And then several of us planted a lot of potatoes, and we'd just switch out, helping each other dig and work them, you know. That was in the summertime, was a busy time. Potatoes and beans and all of that went to the market in Little Rock.
Well, another thing I noticed in the scrapbook was that there were ribbons just about every year for a booth at the county fair. Was that pretty much every year that you would do a booth?
We did that almost every year for a long time. Mm-hmm. We won lots of ribbons at the county fair. Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
Were you active in the county fair in other ways? Did you? Did people go to the county fair to
work?
Oh,
yes. And almost every year, some of us would take vegetables down and enter in the fair. And most of the time we would get blue ribbons or red ribbons or something on them. Oh, yeah, we took part in the county fair. We also made road signs. I think they call them the directional road signs, and put it, we had some out here at this this road, you know, pointing to where everyone lived. At the end of the road, we would put who lived on that road. It took a long time to do that. A lot of hard work and time and everything, but, and like everything else, they finally just, you know, got bad and were torn down. But there was a lot of things that we did that, really, they weren't big projects, but like I said a while ago, we always had the cemetery as our project. And we all, the ladies would get together, and when the leaves would get bad in the fall and fall off the trees or winter, we would get on the phone and we would call and say, well, we need to rake the leaves at the cemetery. So we'd get all the, everybody we could in the community to come and help. Not just the club ladies, but everybody we could get to come and help. So we kept the cemetery in real good shape at that time.
And then it also mentioned that you did activities for the National Home Demonstration Day. Like put exhibits out?
We put signs or exhibits in the stores. It was about usually one store in the community that we would put it in. And then sometimes we would do it at Clinton, put an exhibit in the one of the stores down there. And that's where we, and then also during that week, we had a bake sale at Clinton that we helped with the county extension council raise money. Mm-hmm. And we would go down and help with that. We'd do our baking and then take it down there and work at that. So it's just different smaller things that we did participate in. But we really had something going.
Then one of the photos in the scrapbook showed all the members holding up big 9 patches.
That was for the biggest quilt in the world.
Did we win some type of thing for that?
Well, I don't know if we won anything or not. But anyway, we just tore that all apart, and each one of us that wanted a quilt, we got enough to make us a quilt out of. I don't really know what the purpose of that was, but I guess there was a purpose of doing it. I know we got down there at the fairgrounds, somewhere down there, and I don't know if it's the fairgrounds or just where, had that quilt laid out on the ground, and some of the women around, you know, around the quilt before it was torn apart.
And it was all 9 patches, is what?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. You said you didn't have any particular activity or event that was your favorite. Did you have any particular activity or event that you didn't enjoy in EH?
No, I don't think so.
And what changes through the years? What changes did you see in EH?
Well, like I said a while ago, during a 12-year period, we had as many as 50 members. But then it just started to seem like it's going down, and that wasn't good, but that's what happened. And I don't remember when I was in the last meeting that I went to in the club, I don't think there was about maybe 10 members or so like that. I don't really know what's in there now, but anyway, but a lot of people died, and that happens, you know, of people that's interested in the community. And a lot of the younger ones married and left for jobs and first one thing and another. But we could see that the club was, people just didn't seem to be interested. And some people, they just would not even talk about joining the club. It was like it was something bad. And there was nothing bad about the EH club. It was nothing only to help our community and to help our homes to be better homes and a better community to live in.
And when you started EH, you were real young.
Yes, I was.
Were there young people in the EH most of the time you were in it, or did that?
A lot of the time. I have a quilt that it wasn't one that the club made, I don't think. It might be that they made the blocks and then my mother put the names in it. But it's a friendship quilt, and she gave it to me. And there's a lot of young people in it then. I had two sisters in it, two sister-in-laws, and just a lot of other young people that were in the club at that time.
Can I get your sisters' names?
Ida Smith now, and then Carlene Hodge. And then I had two sister-in-laws, of course. One of them, Jolene Housley, died. She passed away. And the other one moved away. And we had a lot of young people that were interested in the club. But they married and moved away and whatever, you know. So.
Did the EH teach you anything about people?
Well, I suppose it did in some ways. You learn to give and take. That maybe my ways is not always the right way, and I should be willing to listen. And you just learn to love each other and to be more like a family. When you meet with them once a month and then you have your activities, you're with them a lot, so you're just more or less like a big family.
Are there any other memories or experiences that, or thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I can't really remember just what. We had a lot of fun in the monk wedding that we had, and also the womanless wedding. It was, I can look back at the pictures, excuse me, and it was so much fun doing that, but it took a lot of work. You know, the men all worked at something, and you could just get them up here every once in a while to practice. And it took them forever to learn their parts. But anyway, we had a lot of fun.
Are there any projects that you would like to see the EH Club doing in our community at this point?
I can't think of any right now. Mm-hmm. Anything that will better a community is what people need to work at. That's the way I see it. And if someone is doing a good thing, help them. Help them with it instead of trying to tear down, you know. Because it takes working together to have a good community, the same as it does a home. You have to work together to have a good home, and you have to work together to have a good community.
Now, how did you go about recruiting members? You said you had a lot of people. Did you actually go actively ask people or recruit them?
We asked people we'd be glad for them to come and join our club, and they could see the activities in the paper that we did, because that was always reported. And yes, we invited people to come to our club.
And what do you think about the 100 years of EHC that we're celebrating this year?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think it's great that it has been going on that long. A lot of things don't happen like that. So I think it's great that the EHC's clubs are still going.
What would you put in a time capsule right now if you thought it was going to be open in another 100 years? What do you think would be important to put in a time capsule?
Oh, I don't know. just work at it and talk to people about it and try to keep it going for another 100 years as time goes on.
Now, who was your favorite extension agent through the years, and when did they serve?
Like I say, Miss Myers, we all thought a lot of Miss Myers, and we all thought a lot of Mary McKnight. she did a lot of work in the community, I mean in the clubs, and she was just more or less like one of us. When she came out, she was just more like one of us.
Well, Mrs. Myers was in it when you first started. Was she
yes,
in it for
and I don't
long?
Know just how long she was in it. I don't remember. I don't think too many years that she had it.
And then,
I've liked them all that I had any dealings with.
Was McKnight an agent for quite a few years?
Yes, she was. I don't know how many.
Do you know about when she was in?
No, I don't know. She was in it through the probably the 70s and 80s, along in there. Maybe early 90s, I just can't remember.
So for quite a while.
It was several years, yes, she was. Mm-hmm. But I never did know of anyone in the club that disliked Miss Mary McKnight. She had a family. Miss Myers had never been married. She was just a single lady, but she worked hard at it, and we all liked her.
Do you have any ideas about why membership dropped in the clubs through the years? There were 30 clubs at one time, and now there are 7 clubs.
No, I don't. I don't.
Why do you think that the Extension Club has been active for so many years throughout the nation? It's still a successful club going, but not as big.
Well, the only answer I can give is people working together. And wanting to see more things done in their communities.
Did this club ever host the spring and fall council meetings?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We hosted those several times. Mm-hmm. Even had one at the cemetery, I remember. We had tables down there. That's when, during the time that this building was not in any shape to have anything in it. And we asked for it, and we had it down there and had the meal spread on the tables outside. And had a good time, had a good turnout. But we had several council meetings in our club. We always enjoyed them.
You were saying that you'd hosted several county council meetings. How can you remember the differences between the early county council meetings and the more recent ones that you attended?
Well, not really in the way they were carried on. Seemed like there was more members that were interested in the county council back in the earlier years than in the last. But the way they were carried on, not really a lot of difference, except like when we had the county council at the cemetery, instead of having the food on a nice table in a building, ours is outside on cement tables with the tablecloths and everything on them, but everybody enjoyed it. It was a nice day and everybody enjoyed being outside. But as far as the programs, I can't remember being too much difference in what they are now, mm-hmm. or the last one that I attended.
You were talking about how it was here when you went to other communities. Did they have similar types? Places to have the council meeting?
Yes, they did. They had in the community buildings or whatever building was available for those things.
One thing I did notice in the scrapbook, there were often educational programs at the council meetings. Was that common?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think most of the programs were planned for them to be educational programs. And we would exchange gifts at Christmas time, you know, and each one of the clubs would bring a covered dish to help the host club with the meal. And therefore, it wasn't a big problem for everybody. The host club would furnish the bread, the plates and cups and that sort of thing. But the other clubs would bring in a covered dish to help out with the meal.
You mentioned earlier that there were 10 members that started the club.
Yes.
Could you tell us the names of the 10 different members?
Yes, ma'am, I can. Pauline Williams. I might tell you their maiden name if I know it. It was Pauline Hefner Williams. Emma Hefner Williams. Della Hefner Housley. Laura Hardister Hefner. Nora Jean Mathis Housley, Daisy Klutz Housley, pardon me, Daisy Klutz Lord, and Hollis Klutz Clayton, Eula Hefner Mathis, Della Gray Hefner, and Carl West Smith. That were the 10 charter members.
And they all went to the same church at that time?
Yes, just about it.
Uh-huh. Were they mostly all relatives of yours?
Most of them. There was a few that weren't.
Are there any other women through the years that you'd like to bring up that were important in the club?
Margaret Hackman was one that led in lots of projects, I guess you'd call them projects. She was over the Valentine making. We made the Valentines and then took them to the nursing home. And then her mother, Ada Prey, was over the sending the Christmas cards to the prison. And I believe that was Cummins Prison, but I'm not really sure on that. But there were just some of them that was more outgoing, you know, than others of doing all these things, and then the rest of us all helped. But a lot of the ladies have passed away and have moved away, and so I guess that's about the ones that were more active. And I've already mentioned my mother. She was really active in it. She went to a lot of state meetings and all of those different kind of things. And so just down through the years, it's just been different ones are doing different things, and all of us are helping out and working together. That's kept it going.
Some of the other projects you did, the one thing that I've been impressed with is your scrapbook. And who did that? And
My mother, Eula Mathis. And she didn't start it for the purpose of the club. I think she just did it for her own self. She cut out all the reports that came out in the paper, which that was sent in every week. And any activities that we had, she would take pictures and maybe write a little article under the picture telling what it was all about. And she just enjoyed doing that. And even after she moved to Clinton in 1998, the scrapbook stayed at my house. And maybe some morning she'd get up or some afternoon and she'd start putting things in that scrapbook. So she did that even after she moved to Clinton. And she worked at it. She spent hours working at that scrapbook. But she was just mostly doing it for herself and to have the history of the club. Several years ago, one of the ladies was secretary treasurer. And for some reason, unknown, she decided there was no reason to keeping all the, well, all the records of the club, and she destroyed them. So had it not been for the scrapbook that Mom had kept or started for herself, all that would have been lost. So don't ever do away with records, because who knows when something might come up that you need them. But that happened in our club.
Another thing I saw when I was looking through the scrapbook was the wreaths. Or maybe I didn't see it in there. I remember that. At one time, the club made wreaths that they sold all over the county, that they made with pine cones and that kind of thing. Do you remember that? Made them to sell.
No, I don't.
No?
I don't remember that.
And then another project that I saw that the club took on was highway maintenance.
Yes, we did. The club voted to clean the highways for 2 miles, I believe, to get all the litter on the side of the highways, meet a certain time of the month, and do that. And we did that for quite a long while.
Did you do that each month or several times a year?
It may have just been 2 or 3 times a year. I'm not really sure on that. I don't think we did it each month.
And sometime you sent off cards to prisoners.
Yes, we did that at Christmas time, I believe, that Mrs. Prey would, she made the envelopes and, well, cards, whatever. I don't remember if we made the cards ourselves, or I believe she took old cards. She kept the old cards and made Christmas cards for the prisoners out of those. And I think she made her own envelopes. Maybe we helped her some. I don't remember that. But I know we sent cards to the prisoners.
And you sent cookies to servicemen once?
Yes, I think so. Maybe, I don't know, just how long we did that, but yes, we did that.
Has that spurred any other memories that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I believe I've about shared all that I can actually remember.
Well, thank you for all your contributions to the Extension Homemakers, and for sharing your time and your memories with us. This has been very enjoyable.
Well, I've enjoyed it myself, and hope I have been some help.